What makes a great pair of glasses? At Warby Parker, it's all the invisible extras without the extra cost. Their designer quality frames start at $95, including prescription lenses, plus scratch-resistant, smudge-resistant, and anti-reflective coatings, and UV protection, and free adjustments for life. To find your next pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to find the Warby Parker store nearest you, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts for $2.49 a pound with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What the hell's going on?
Christmas, dude. How did you not know that was Christmas?
I thought that was the Time for Halloween song. Is that not it?
This is Halloween.
It kind of like blends into each other.
Authorities are desperately searching for a killer accused of going on a rampage.
The search for a possible serial killer.
An urgent manhunt for a man authorities believe is behind a triple killing spree.
Police here speculating that a possible serial killer may have struck again.
I told her to get out of the car, and that's when she became afraid, and then I shot her.
Welcome to Jesse Wiseman's Crime Corner.
Yeah.
Holiday edition. Right? We thought, you know, we always do these, like, you know, gory, crazy murder stuff, crime. And we thought tonight,
something a little bit more lighthearted.
We do that, but worse. Right? We thought for the holidays, let's step it up a notch.
As opposed to making it festive, we're really going to lean into it this time.
I thought maybe I could do like a happy, you know, the kid is kidnapped and they find him, right?
No.
Oh,
or heart- maybe a happy murder, like the right person gets it.
Right. But I thought, let's go. Probably one of the, now everyone in this story that survived the trauma of that is so deep-seated, and it's, you know, it's what we're dealing with right now today with the kids, and they're just so into, you know, the magic of it, and Santa, and oh, Santa's here, and you know what I mean? Yeah, come on in, Santa.
I think this story here is going to teach kids a very valuable lesson about
Santa. Very valuable lesson.
And a very valuable lesson about stranger danger.
Right, that A, Santa, not real, obviously. Sorry.
What?
Also,
what? If he is kind of a creep.
Right.
The real Santa was?
But also, even if it is Santa, don't just let him in willy-nilly, right? We're doing a fun holiday massacre, right? Yes, and we'll make it fun and flirty. Do not worry. I don't know. Should we do some banter at the front? How have you guys been? What are we going to be up to for the holidays? Oh, I love you. I haven't seen you in forever. What's
up? I forgot the list again.
Yeah, I was going to say, do we have any titles from last episode?
We're trying to really boost the audio of it all.
Oh, okay.
And the listeners...
And obviously titles can only be seen visually while we're saying them.
Right. And so our listeners, as amazing as they are, and actually, like, give us the exact titles that we want.
They've done a good job, yeah.
When we're trying to boost the show out to an audience that's other than the nine of us listening and the three of us
God
here.
God bless all nine of you.
They kind of don't get our humor, right?
Oh, it's one of those
You
things.
Know what I mean? And so I want to kind of do a little bit of a different title, but I thought maybe, do we do something where we change it on Patreon, the title, or I just give, you know, We read it, and then...
We need to come up with another new game, because...
I know.
The game is fun.
Because we love games.
Yeah.
Well, no, personally, I'm sick and tired of being outshined by listeners. I like to be the clever one. And
yeah, I know.
It really, really digs at me when somebody else comes up with a clever title.
I know.
I laugh about it during the show, but on the drive home, I'm just fucking...
Yeah. You're like, you want to be on the show? Why don't you write a show? You know what I mean? Yeah. I know. I've seen it. I pulled up next to you before, on my way home.
It's not pretty.
And it's just.
I really got to start taking a different route home because we're both going.
Yeah, we're both going the same way. There might be a red light, you know, and you're still.
I can't hold it in.
I just want an excuse to keep talking shit about Ruben, you know.
Oh,
like,
well,
we need to figure out.
No problemo. We will not stop doing that, right?
No, easy peasy.
Easy peasy, Ruben. Don't even think for one second you can come up with a fucking title that will win ever.
That's right.
And thank you for listening, and we love you. Okay. So, shall we get into it?
Let's just jump right into it.
I think we should
honestly. This episode turned out being like the notes turned out being longer than I initially expected.
Right, because like when you first hear it, you're like,
pretty cut and dry.
All right. But then when you get into it...
It gets juicy. It gets real juicy.
Ooh.
You ready? You ready, Joel?
I guess.
You
this
are
is
not
like a Santa
know
murder?
What the fuck is going on, ever. So don't ask. Not with this one. We're sending Joel on a goose chase, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
I love that ride.
Yeah. We actually changed it specifically so that you go, what? Right?
Okay. There's a twist.
So gotta get ready.
Gotta give full credit to Jesse for that one because I was trying to find a good red herring to start off with.
Right.
And we ended up doing about like a good 30 minutes of rewrites right before recording the show. All thanks to Jesse and found the hook.
And ruined the show.
And all thanks to you for writing it.
Brought it.
And
brought
we're
it
a good
right
team. And we're a good thruple. Right?
I love Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Dude,
it's my favorite ride.
That's my favorite. All right, let's get into it. Favorite fucking Disney.
It's the best Disney ride at Disneyland.
It's the best Disney ride.
Like the small rides, not the roller coasters or any of this shit.
But by the way, those are the ones that imprint on me. Like,
If you
maybe Splash Mountain, but other than that, like the kid ones are the ones that like stay with you forever. If you hear Disneyland, you're going to think Mr. Toad's.
And the Alice in Wonderland one. Alice in Wonderland. Did you go on that one? It's almost just like the Toad one.
A little bit scary, right? There's a scary part in it.
And at the end, you come outside and you're up high.
Oh,
and you go down the plants.
The Peter Pan one. Remember you go to
Neverland.
You're riding the flying boats.
The Dirtbag Island. Remember when he goes to Dirtbag Island or whatever?
Yeah,
or is that Pinocchio?
That's the Native Americans.
That would be Pinocchio. And it's Pleasure Island.
Pleasure Island.
Operators had to stop me from climbing out of the car.
By the way, Pleasure Island.
That place was scary.
I think that's like our whole
I think you just approached
vibe.
It wrong.
That's us three. That's our whole vibe. Do you remember when you're going through Pleasure Island and it's just like Pinocchio's like, ooh, and it's all like smoky, like kids smoky.
Yeah, and they're trying to make it scary. Like, oh, look at all these kids over here. They're smoking and drinking
like,
and gambling. You're like, sign me up.
Yeah, you left Pleasure Island. Why?
Oh, because you're going to turn into a jackass. Hey, I was born a jackass.
Right?
Jackasses are hard workers, too, you know?
Sure.
It's a donkey, right?
Yep, that's a way to go with that. Mm-hmm. That's a way to go with that one. Love it. Let's get in the spirit, guys, shall we? Coop, I'm going to have you start us off with this one. Again, another Coop original. He's going to inject a lot of his hatred for different, you know, towns, cities, people,
races,
times of year, traditions, religion.
I dare you to find anything that I can't hate.
Right?
I have yet to.
And so I think this first paragraph is going to really set the scene.
All right. I'll open
and
it up.
And here we go, guys. Happy holidays, okay?
Merry Christmas. Every December, families across the world gather together to sing songs, trade gifts, and briefly pretend they don't despise one another during a formerly pagan holiday we now know as Christmas. During this most wonderful time of the year, little boys and girls snug in their beds, wait anxiously for a visit from the greatest Coca-Cola mascot of all time, Santa Claus. For children above the age of 10 or below the poverty line, a visit from St. Nicholas is nothing but a dream. But for a family from Covina, California, it was a nightmare.
The real Santa came and killed him?
I mean, close enough.
So.
He is just a, like, diabetic home invader.
Bravo. Okay.
Santa's murdering people? That's what this is going to be?
Don't
Do you
spoil
believe in Santa?
Twist.
Okay, then he didn't. You know what I mean? Elf on the Shelf.
Okay.
So, sometime around 3 a.m. on Christmas Day, 2008, Brad Pardo came home to discover the body of his brother, Bruce, laying in a pool of blood. He had been shot once in the head, and a 9mm pistol rested in his lap. As police investigated the scene, a second 9mm pistol was found nearby, along with a fresh bullet hole in the ceiling. Initially, police believed that at least two gunmen had invaded the home of Brad Pardo and were surprised to find his brother, Bruce. As it goes with many bungled home invasions, shots were fired and an innocent life was taken. As investigators began to dig into Bruce's past, a different story began to take shape.
Interesting.
Roughly 1 week before the corpse was discovered, Bruce's ex-wife Sylvia had finalized their divorce. So now we're thinking, you know what I mean? As more information was uncovered, it was revealed that Sylvia's maiden name was Ortega, giving police a promising lead to follow in the murder of Bruce Pardo. So now they're thinking, is it her? Do you know what I mean? Was he trying to take the kids? Not sure.
Some sort of connection with the
right.
with a toxic relationship, rough divorce.
Right.
Something bad went down.
Something which you can always trace back. We also need to say Covina and Sylmar, where Bruce was found. Not high crime areas. Weirdly, I don't know. This is a California situation, right? So when I hear Covina, I guess I kind of thought it was high crime, but maybe it's just...
I initially thought it was also...
Middle class?
Yeah, really.
Working class?
They're mostly working class.
Okay.
Like, fairly blue-collar neighborhoods.
Right.
But not... you know, not slums,
right?
By any means,
right? So this gave police a promising lead to follow in the murder of Bruce Pardo. Tracing this new information back to its source, investigators realized the case was far more complicated than they initially thought. Joel,
did they die?
What do you think happened? Right? We already are like, what do you think happened, Joel? No.
Where's this going?
There's so much more.
He shot himself.
Buckle.
Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe. On the night of December 24th, 2008, the Ortega family was gathered together to celebrate Christmas Eve. Hosting the festivities were 80-year-old Joseph Papa Joe Ortega and his 70-year-old wife, Alicia.
Ortega salsa, chili.
Right? By the way, this Christmas party, lit, dude.
Right?
The best food, probably.
Oh, my God, yeah.
So, neighbors of Papa Joe and Alicia would say, and family and everything, like, their Christmas, Feliz Navidad, whatever, Christmas parties were the shit. 30, 40 people always, family, fun games, poker, drinking, like, good-ass food.
Party,
yeah.
Right? I can't imagine getting along with that many members of my family.
Oh, my God. When people say, like, oh, yeah, we, even just immediate family, we all get together, I go, how?
Yeah.
What?
And,
yeah.
And also, who cares?
And also, why are you talking to me? You know what I mean? Why are you telling me about your dumb family? Yeah.
What's your name again? And
yeah,
why do you keep saying you knew me when I was this tall?
Can I just get my fucking burger?
Open the presents and get the fuck out of my house.
Can I get my fucking burrito? Why are you telling me this?
White people don't know how to party. White families
it's so true.
Hate each other.
100%
true.
Mexican families fucking get down.
100% true. And by the way, I will also say, low, you know, we're saying below the poverty line. We're saying, you know, low income, whatever, white families. Poor people know how to party because we're not fucking judging anybody. Fucking, you go into that trailer and do your fucking crack. You go into that trailer and fucking smoke weed. You stay out here and drink, whatever, right? And we're all gonna laugh and have fun. Someone's gonna know a song on the guitar, right? Mm-hmm. And play it over and over
Gonna be playing some mariachi music.
And that, like that,
mariachi.
I connect. Mariachi.
Is that how it's pronounced?
How do you?
I don't know. I've only seen it on paper. How do you?
I've only seen it written down. but by the way, yes.
Yeah. Mariachi.
Mariachi. Okay, so I was saying it right.
You were.
Yeah.
Okay, yes. Good.
Yeah. 100%.
Yes. Ortega's people with like the last
Home
name.
Why Depot keep making fun of me then?
People with like the last name Ortega. You know, Ruiz. That's a fucking go to that party. You know
what I mean? I like how the we're just waiting for some racist comment to happen, but we've done actually a pretty good job this round of not being racist.
Have we?
Yeah. Well, in this instance, leg up. They know how to do it. White people, honestly, white people fucking Christmas party, snooze.
Oh, Jesus Christ. It's a fucking nightmare.
Everyone's like, oh, so cute. Where'd you get that sweater? Cute.
I dread Christmas every year because I have to pretend like I care about my extended family. I barely remember the names of any of these people.
I know.
And part of them are only related to me through marriage.
Right.
And they're all talking about like, oh, you remember 10 years ago when we were hanging out here? I'm like, no, I have no idea who the fuck you are.
Nope.
No offense, but seriously, I have no idea who the fuck these people are.
And you're just like, can I just get my burrito? Do you know what I mean? Are we related? I mean, I don't fucking know.
Can you look the other way so me and my brother-in-law can go outside and smoke some weed and eat some food and then,
by the way,
quietly slip away?
Now, if we are going to talk about the only fun thing in a white person's Christmas party is when you find another person that you can sneak away with to either smoke a cig, smoke some weed, whatever, then you feel like, but by the way, at the other parties, you don't need to sneak away. Do you know what I mean?
At the real ones,
that doing is it. The fucking dream.
Just
right
light up in here, whatever.
I got to give props to my parents. They actually know how to do Christmas right.
They do.
Everyone
but there's
has a Santa
thing
cup
in there.
Full of fucking whiskey. We all drink.
Dude, your parents
drugs.
Know how to party in general. Like I've blacked out at your parents' house
and
more times
Mexican,
than I can count.
Which so. They,
God bless them.
So, so also what I'm saying is when I would go to my Bakersfield family.
Oh, yeah.
That's how you fucking do it, right?
Oh, you put on some corn.
The weird fucking cousin coming
in
the smoking weed in the garage.
The
it's like everyone has whiskey in the eggnog. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's my kind of Christmas.
Yeah, it was a no judgment zone, if you know what I mean.
As it should be.
As it fucking should be, Coop.
That's family.
Family.
Real, yeah. Family.
Family. So anyway, so they're having this party. Relatives from the U.S. and Mexico had come together to celebrate the birth of Messiah, packing their home with nearly 30 people. Coop, I mean, it's cool.
Why is that funny?
Because I could just hear, because I know you're writing it.
Yeah.
Is he not the Messiah? Is
yes,
he not the
yes.
Son of God?
He's
okay,
mid.
Thank you.
He's mid. This is why. This is why the Spanish word
really
for vagina is synonymous with clown car.
Look it up.
Right?
What?
Look it up. Same word. Same word in Spanish.
Same word in Spanish. Vagina and clown car. Same word.
Really? I didn't know that.
What is it? Puta? Pita? Pita? Pito? Pito?
Pita bread?
Paquito pio?
I have no idea. I barely speak English.
Puñeta?
Punani? Paquito gato? Okay.
Is it like chicharrones or something like that?
I'm going to stop that. No, I'm going to stop that.
Chicharrones?
I'm going to stop
that. Pueblos.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah. Basically, 30 people at the party, most of them related, right? So they're all...
Yeah, all of them either related
through
blood
neighbors,
or through marriage.
Married into it, whatever. So among the people gathered...
Surprisingly, a handful of Polish names in there, too.
Mm. Because the girls married white dudes, right?
I mean, they want to get their credit scores up there.
Yeah, they want... They want
citizenship and stuff.
they want to get out of Covina.
They want to get their credit scores up. okay.
God bless Jesse for putting up with this every week.
I know. I know.
I love it. I love it. I feel like I'm at a Mexican Christmas party.
I can imagine
No judgment
head.
Zone, huh?
I can imagine the party right now in my head.
Right?
They're all crazy, having fun. There's a dude that's spinning a chicken's head and ripping
Not
it off.
Not one person is asking, like, where'd you get that? Do you know what I mean? Like, dress or sweater. It's really just like...
There's a 13-year-old girl that has grandkids.
Right? Yep. It's like, and we know pregnant. The answer. Goodwill.
pregnant with her fourth
We
child.
Know where you got it. You stole it from the laundromat. So, among the people gathered at the Ortega home were Joe and Alicia's adult children, Charles, James, Sylvia, Alicia, and Leticia?
I think Leticia or Leticia?
Leticia.
And it's Joel, not Joe.
What?
No, for sure. It's
a Mexican dude?
Short for Jose.
Yeah.
Jose. Yeah. Or Joel.
Papa Jose.
Joel? Isn't that yours?
That's my name, yeah.
Joel. Yeah. So then why would Joe be your name?
Because it's... Well, I can't see the writing. I thought it was Joel.
No, Joe.
Joe. But wait, Joel, that's...
Colorblind
that, is that
deaf?
A real name?
This is not going to work.
Yeah. Just kidding. Yeah, Joel. That's what, when I get in an Uber and it's a Mexican dude... They'll start speaking Spanish and call me Joel, and I'm like, oh, no habla español. And they're like, okay. And they go back to English, and they're like, this guy's not Mexican.
Okay. Yeah,
I didn't know Joel was a real name.
Joel, dude.
Joel.
Oh, yeah.
Joel. Okay, Joel. No, it's Joe, not Joel. And Alicia's adult children, okay. And Leticia. Along with their young children, who ranged between the ages of 8 and 17. Also attending the party were extended family members such as cousins and their spouses. The home was filled with wall to wall. The home was filled wall to wall with smiling faces, smiles that some would say.
No.
They lit up a room, Joel.
Shit. Oh no.
Joel, even the kids, they lit up a room.
With everyone at the party?
The whole family. They love the whole family, right?
That's why it's always a bad idea to smile in any situation.
Do not light up a room.
Resting bitch face is your number one defense against being murdered.
Absolutely.
They're all going to die?
No, Joel.
Oh, okay.
Wait for it. Can't jump ahead.
I'll tell you when you can start saying, what? After a day of revelry... The children retired to the rear of the house to play video games while the adults gathered around the dining room table for an old-fashioned game of Texas.
Cocaine.
Hold'em.
Oh.
They're not that cool. They're not Colombian. They're Mexican.
Oh. Texas, hold'em.
They can't afford cocaine.
Tejas, hold'em.
Tejas, hold'em. Around 11:30 p.m. So there was a knock at the front door. One of the Ortega's granddaughters. Hello?
Sound effects.
Yeah.
Hello? One of the,
hello?
Hola?
Turning this into a radio drama?
Yeah. Get the shoes on the thing. Okay. For audio listeners, that did nothing, by the way. So you've got to watch the video. Sorry. One of the Ortega's granddaughters. 8-year-old Katrina.
Good luck with this.
Yes. Yif. Ziv.
Yizif.
Zipolsky?
Is it Polsky?
Zipolsky. Is the Y silent?
Any of these letters could be
silent.
I have no idea.
Zipolsky?
It's a Polish name or something?
Could be pronounced
Carter,
the
dad's
for
white.
All I know.
The dad's white. Okay.
What gave that away?
I know. Zipolsky?
Y-Z-E-F-P-O-L-S-K-Y.
Ruben, don't even start. Yeah. We know you know, bitch. We know
we
you know
Google
how
too.
It's pronounced, okay? So she opened the door to find the magical, morbidly obese home invader known as Santa!
Saint Nick.
Hey, Santa.
Is
possible
just
title
or...
for this. Hit him where it jingles.
Oh.
Right?
Hit him in the jingle balls.
Hit him in the jinglers. What were you going to say?
Is it just me or the whole concept? I'm sure that there's been a bunch of comedians that have made this connection before, but is it not creepy that there's an old fat man that sneaks into homes to give gifts to children? Shouldn't he be on a sex offender registry?
I don't understand.
Yes. Fine. But doesn't it come from like a real story of someone? And so they made him look, the real guy was creepy, but he did good things. Saint Nick? No.
I mean, to a certain degree, but
there's always a dark side to any of those stories.
The whole fictional story of it is creepy as fuck to me.
Creepy, yeah. And like, we're supposed to teach kids like, cool. Like this one creepy dude.
This one stranger that comes into your home offering gifts is okay.
That's okay. But if anyone else tries to do it, it's a no-go.
Actually, there's a good lesson that we'll find out as the story goes on. If he comes down the chimney, safe.
Front door?
Comes through the front door, not safe.
Run.
So little Katrina was understandably excited, right? It was Christmas Eve and Santa Claus. Oh, mira. Mira, mama, Santa Claus. Right?
Mama, papa, yeah. Mira.
Oh, mira.
Yeah. Santa Claus.
Santa Claus. No. What is that? German? Dutch?
Oh, no.
What
was that? I mean, she was Polish, so.
Oh, yeah.
You know, maybe she had a little bit of her daddy's accent.
The one Polak in the place, huh?
Santa Claus.
Anyways.
I think that was racist. That felt like
there hasn't
racism.
Been one thing I've said that hasn't been racist.
Okay.
I mean, technically all of us here are mixed race to a certain degree.
Sure.
So I think that we can get away with pretty much anything.
We all have
I'm half Irish and half Scandinavian.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Bitch.
That's mixed race.
I know.
Yeah,
okay,
sure.
Thank you.
No.
Check your privilege.
I was about to step on your joke with the same joke. I was like, I know. I'm like German, Irish. You know what I mean? Like totally mixed. All right. Mita.
So cool.
What?
I was waiting for a Hitler joke from you guys.
Oh.
What joke? Why is that funny?
There it is.
We went over this last week, and I had to have a really long conversation with you guys after the show to explain my views.
Right.
Your
he,
love.
Like, gave us both books. Remember the book that he gave us?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, neither one of you guys realized that he actually did a sequel to Mein Kampf. Mein Kampf 2, Electric Boogaloo. It's even better than the first.
Mein Kampf How'd you get 2, Electric Boogaloo is the title of the show. It's not going to make any sense, except for the people that listen on Patreon. So she was understandably excited. Mita. It was Christmas Eve, and Santa Claus had just made a surprise appearance to their family gathering, bearing an armload of gifts. Had she taken a moment to analyze the situation, she would have noticed a few clues that this wasn't actually a jolly sweatshop owner from the North Pole.
The AR strapped to his back wasn't evidence enough?
Oh, no, right? He just had gifts in his hands.
Yeah.
Nicely wrapped gifts.
The first indication that something was amiss was that it was 11:30, so hours earlier than Santa usually makes his rounds. The second red flag was when Saint Nick drew a 9mm pistol and shot Katrina in the face.
Fuck!
I have never once seen a mall Santa do that.
Right, and I love that you call that a red flag.
What is it not?
Just a caution, just like a little speed bump. Just a little speed bump in trusting this Santa is being shot in the face. The man in the red coat wasn't there to spread holiday cheer. He was there to murder the entire
Fuck. Now, see, there was a... I was thinking about putting something different there, but I think the alliteration was just a little bit too much. I was going to say he's not there to spread holiday cheer. He's there to spread holiday fear. It seemed too much like a corny 80s tagline.
Yeah. It's one of those that
we have
to... I
gotta put a bass drop on that.
I have a little bit of respect for myself.
Can you?
Yeah, I'll put a bass drop on it. Fear.
Back in the near future, after the discovery of Bruce Pardo's body later that night, that we already talked about, what are you two fucking winky-winky about?
Sorry.
What are you fucking tugging dicks about over there?
See, goddammit, you were... I was trying to write that as confusingly as possible. You saw right through it.
What was I? You do it. You do it.
No, no, I'm just saying back in the near future. Makes yeah, no back in the near sense. Future.
Well, I think like, maybe.
You've spent enough time around me that the nonsensical shit rolled, that I say just kind of makes off. Sense.
Yeah. After the discovery of Bruce Pardo's body later that night, dots began to be connected. Obviously, the costume gunman who arrived at the door of the Ortega household was also responsible for the death of Pardo that we found earlier in the story, right?
Okay.
His brother found him. Looks like suicide, but there's also another gun there. There's a shot in the ceiling. There's blood all over.
If you're putting
arms
a gun up to your
stuff.
Head, it's pretty hard to miss.
Yes.
Generally.
Yeah. You're like, oh, where is it? Did I get it? So autopsies revealed that the gun used during the attack on the Ortegas was the same caliber as the weapon used to end the life of Bruce. But why? The answer to this question was a plot twist straight out of a poorly written student film.
And all three of us have a lot of experience with those.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. The man at the door was actually Bruce Jeffrey Pardo.
Dun, dun, dun.
Another bass drop.
Yep. A 45-year-old ex-husband of Sylvia Ortega. Pardo and Sylvia had met in 2004 and later married in 2006. A little over 1 year later, Sylvia filed for divorce. The couple had many arguments over Sylvia's three children, which Bruce refused to help support. The relationship declined over even further when Sylvia discovered her new husband had been hiding the existence of a child from his previous marriage, which he also refused to support.
This is another one of those situations where this is a little bit easier than previous cases, but trying to decide who the bigger piece of shit is. Sylvia didn't sound all that great from, I left out some of the details about the stuff that she was doing. Obviously, Bruce was the one that was worse. I mean, he was the one that committed a massacre.
Sure, do tell.
What's the problem with the woman?
Shouldn't jump too far ahead. She took his goddamn dog.
Dude, wait,
they're Mexican. They don't give a shit about dogs.
Hey, John Wick. John Wick killed way more people.
Do you have the whole Bruce backstory in here?
Portions of it, yeah. I mean, there's.
Do you have what happened to the kid in question that he kept from her?
So his kid that he was supposed to be taken care of,
13-month-old,
injured in a horrific pool accident.
He turned on the TV, the kid fell in the pool, he was paraplegic for the rest of his life because of it,
hey,
and he
you know
fucking
what?
Boned out a month after this happened.
Let he who is without sin cast the first stone.
Koopa loop. Anyways, Bruce is sweet. Bruce is sweet. He's awesome. So Bruce Pardo, he's just like, but by the way, he was super fun to hang out with. Everyone that you ask about Bruce was like, he was so fun, so nice, so outgoing. We loved him.
Okay.
I mean,
so he was just a real fucking cool dude, and I think he got a bad rap. Coop.
Bruce is Santa, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I am.
So Bruce Pardo was a real.
This is taking so much heat off of me after the Hitler stuff last week.
Yeah, yeah. Let's get into how it's Sylvia's fault. drove him to it.
Hey, you know what? Don't.
That was crazy.
Do not
bitches.
Even get me started about little Katrina, 8-year-old Katrina.
God.
You think that she's innocent in this whole thing?
No.
No.
She steals. Sylvia was just fucking nagging, dude. Nagging him. And that'll drive a dude crazy, yeah. Right? Yeah. Everyone knows that.
Yeah, I know. Been there.
Read the next paragraph. Bruce Pardo was a real piece of work. Coop, how's your boy? What happened to your boyfriend, Bruce?
All right, well, to explain why all this happened. And I'm not saying excuse, but possibly justify some of the things that happened. Roughly 6 months before Bruce Pardo began his rampage at the Ortega home, a divorce court ruled in favor of Sylvia ordering him to pay $1,785 a month in spousal support.
God damn, bitch, that's nothing.
Bitch, that is nothing.
Well, over the following months, as Bruce attempted to fight the ruling, he was fired from his job just for falsifying his hours and pretending that he was at work when he wasn't actually at work and stealing money from the company.
And, like looking into other people's, like, profiles and, like, finding out, like, how much they made and, like...
Wait, you got fired for that?
Yeah.
I know.
Right? I haven't been fired yet for that.
See? Because this is a good place to work.
Right?
This is a healthy work environment.
And poor Bruce.
poor Bruce
worked at... He was an engineer, which
electrical
we all know.
Engineer. The nerds always get it the worst.
He worked at fucking NASA. Boo.
Wait, did he actually?
Well, he worked at a...
Affiliate, but yeah.
Yeah, at the time.
They worked
it was the
on
ITT...
Jet Propulsion?
Yeah, NASA. It was ITT... Technical Institute or something like that. It was ITT.
He was making good money. He was smart dude.
He was a professional.
But
nerd.
He was...
Just didn't want to pay the child support?
Well, he...
He could afford it?
It didn't seem like he really wanted to do anything.
And yeah. Also at this point, when he's ordered to do this, he had lost his job.
And he's... Oh, he's fat and lazy. I get it.
And a drunk.
Santa Claus.
He's the real Santa Claus. What's my real identity? And he's just like, you know what I mean? He just was like, who do I... At Christmas came around. He kept seeing all these commercials. He's like, that's me, right? Okay, so what happened, Coop?
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts for $2.49 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/audio.
Over the following months, as Bruce attempted to fight the ruling, he was fired from his job as an electrical engineer due to padding his time card with false hours. As a result... The court suspended the alimony payments and instead ordered him to pay Sylvia a one-time fee of $10,000. To add insult to injury, and this is what I was talking about earlier, the judge permitted Sylvia to keep her wedding ring and the fucking dog. Look, I'm not saying,
keep the fucking kids.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
I feel like the judge is kind of giving them
Bruce
a break.
Bruce definitely feels that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
He loves to bone out on a kid. That's his fucking jam, dude.
While the divorce was finalized, Bruce Pardo spent his time drinking and cursing his bitch ex-wife for ruining his life.
Wait, hang on, I did not write that in there. Once she takes the dog, Coop is like, you fucking deserve whatever you get. Go ahead.
Now unemployed and struggling financially, he watched as Sylvia lived rent-free with her parents, spending the money from the settlement on trips to Las Vegas, expensive meals, massages, and golf lessons. The last straw for Bruce was when he learned that Sylvia had purchased a fancy new car. It was then that he began planning his revenge.
So, real quick, does he think she also worked at the same place, but kept her motherfucking job? Did he actually think, by the way, you give $10,000 to anyone, like, that's not going to last you a fucking...
That's not like buying fancy cars
and going on trips. Like, that's going to be gone in literally 2 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, $10,000 in the grand scheme of things, it's objectively a large sum of money. That is not a life changing amount of money.
Right, but if you have three kids, if you have a house that you're paying everything, if you have all the bills, if you have a car already, you know, like,
yeah,
that's
in that situation,
gone.
It's gone in a handful of months.
She was just living it off the extra $2,000. You know what I mean? So he's also delusional, but yeah, Just 1 week prior to Bruce's killing spree, the divorce was finalized. With seemingly nothing left to lose, he gathered the tools he would use to end the lives of as many members of Sylvia's family as he could. Pardo acquired 2 9mm pistols, a Santa costume, which, by the way, he had to get custom because he's 6'4".
And like, holy shit, really?
Yeah. So he had to actually like go to someone and get a custom Santa. Like, this premeditation is like not even a good term for how long he planned.
How did that conversation go?
Right?
Like, what do you need this for? I'm a mall Santa?
He was like, I think he even said.
It's July,
like,
dude. Why are you getting Santa's a Santa costume?
Because people knew, I think, about the party. About the party. It was pretty big, like, in their small kind of neighborhood. And he was like, yeah, I play Santa at this party, whatever.
So, yeah, there's Santas at Mexican parties. A lot of, I remember Santa, like, coming to the Mexican Christmas parties I was at when I was a kid.
Yeah, so it's like,
holy shit, Santa's here.
Except he shows up and takes all the presents instead of leaving them.
Yeah. Like, wait, is that so Uncle, that your parents? Uncle Mike.
Yeah. So that your parents can say, like, we did get you something. Oh, but they're all empty boxes.
Oh,
yeah.
Damn. Santa came
Santa
and took them all back.
Guys, shouldn't
have been bad this year.
You imagine if your parents told you Santa stole your presents? What the fuck?
That would be
some shitty
more
parents.
Traumatizing what than what happened to these kids, right?
Oh, so, vastly.
So he started planning this. He got a custom Santa costume and homemade flamethrower that he had fashioned out of a compressor. So we're dealing with someone that we like, someone that we all know, right? Which is like very smart, able to build these kind of things, but one flick of a switch and it could be used for, right? So who else would be like, I'm gonna build, like, I know how to build a flamethrower, and also the preparation he went into as far as going to Iowa, visiting a friend, buying the guns there because of lax laws or whatever, coming back, you know. And they also have lax laws on how much ammunition you can get, so he really planned this in a very, like, engineer mind type way, right?
Yeah, let that be a lesson to everybody. Do not piss off autistic people.
Seriously.
I live with an autistic person that has a lot of guns.
Yeah. Do not piss off autistic
An people. Autistic person? Yeah. Oh, yes. Is it autistic or Asperger's?
Who knows?
It's on the Trump. It's the Trump.
Trump.
So on December,
little specky.
Yeah, just a little specky tree, specky Trump.
A little touch of the speck.
Yeah. Are you on the specky or the Trump? On December 24th, he wrapped the flamethrower in wrapping paper, loaded his pistols, and donned his costume. He drove from his home in Sylmar, which was, what, 40 miles?
30 to 40 miles.
In a rental car, arriving at the Ortega's house just before midnight. When young Katrina greeted him at the door, he shot her with no hesitation before turning his attention to the rest of the Ortega family. And if you can imagine, in a party, and it's kind of like the later in the night, people are starting to leave, people are drunk, people are playing poker, whatever. Like, it will take you a second realize, like, anything that's kind of happening, right?
Yeah, and I mean, like, I used to live out in Sun Valley, California. Any celebration, it was a, like, primarily Hispanic neighborhood that I was living in. Any celebration, no, I mean, like, fireworks all over the place, loud noises.
Yeah.
And even after you've drinking and partying all day, yeah, you hear a loud noise, you're like, oh, somebody dropped something.
Well, dude, if I was in that house and I watched Santa, like, blow my sister's head off, I'd be like, these drugs are kicking in.
Seriously, it would take you a second to be like, is this what?
Yeah. Holy shit, she was a pinata the whole time?
I know.
Oh, God.
So after Katrina fell to the ground, Bruce began firing indiscriminately into the guests. Sylvia's brother, Charles, recognized Bruce almost immediately and shouted for his family members to run before attempting to wrestle the weapon away from his former brother-in-law. Charles was then shot along with his brother, James. Miraculously, James and Charles had not been killed.
I think we need to take a minute to give some respect to Charles and James because they were the second and third person... second and third people shot during this whole massacre. Even after they were shot, both went down. Both of them got up and still kept trying to fight Bruce. Like
gangster,
they,
dude.
That's they fought family, the entire dude. Time. Yeah. And that was one of the testimonies from one of the survivors is even after they were like grievously wounded and dying, all they did was continue to try and fight this guy. They were fucking
badass. Bad they were both on the ground and they saw each other like, come on, Carnal.
Let's go. Yeah. And they like dragged themselves up. Yeah. Fuck.
Those guys are badass.
Super badass.
For sure. Miraculously, though, James and Charles had not been killed by the initial gunshot wounds and continued to struggle with Bruce in the living room. Unfortunately, Bruce was able to fire off a few more shots, killing them both as they were fighting them.
Fuck.
As the guests fled, Bruce made his way deeper into the house. Upon hearing the initial gunshots, Papa Joe and his wife, Alicia, hid underneath the dining room table along with their daughters, Leticia, and Sylvia, the ex-wife, as well as their daughter-in-law, Teresa. As Bruce approached, Leticia was able to flee the room, but the other three women weren't as lucky. Papa Joe, Alicia, and Sylvia, and Teresa were all shot, execution style, as they huddled under the table.
Fuck.
Many of the remaining adult family members had fled to the rear of the house, gathering the children, ushering them to safety as they scrambled out of the house. Bruce unwrapped the package, so he brought, it's a big compressor that he turned into a flamethrower, and he kind of covered this entire thing in a big box. This is the fucking, like, insanity. I don't know what his workshop looked like.
Diabolical shit.
Yeah, so then he wheels it like a covered present, basically, huge covered box, wheels it inside, takes the box off, and then just starts fucking torching the place after that. Smart, by the way.
Don't fuck with
an engineer. All fucking smart. Had he gotten away, I mean, listen, the connection to the family, he would not have gotten away, but he really planned this shit, even when we get into like how he tried to get away.
He was like a goddamn Batman villain.
Yeah.
Like the I think way it was that he what planned was all of this out is possibly insane.
Yeah. I think it was like possibly what was consuming his days because he had had like... Because of the dog, like you said, poor Bruce was just, you know, so sad. And his bitch, nagging wife was needing fucking, was living it up on fucking $5 that he gave her.
So glad we're on the same page now.
And so he's in his fucking house by himself, like coming, like this consumed his, he was busy doing it, right?
Yeah.
It kept him busy. He was able to plan all this stuff. It kept him, like, going.
It was good for him, yeah.
It was good for him. You know what I mean? He started working out, you know?
That was his way of recovering was, you know, he didn't have his job to keep his mind busy anymore. So and he put it towards like, something else constructive.
Right. Yeah. It's like whatever you need. You know what I mean? Some people do, you know.
I got a trailer. I work on the trailer. That's what gets me through the day.
Some people like origami.
Right.
You know, some people play solitaire or
murder their
mahjong
or
something.
They turn to religion sometimes. Yeah. They get really into, like, a charity. Right, and then some people
build a flamethrower and buy a couple guns and
shoot their entire family.
The
on Christmas
of their
Eve.
Family.
Yeah,
those are like his kids, right? Like,
no
stepkids or whatever it would be.
I mean, they were step, right? I think they had one together.
Did they?
I think they had one daughter together, but the other two were hers from a previous.
Okay, I think that she had three from a previous marriage. He had one from a previous marriage,
right.
And the two of them never had
kids. Yeah, but that
one
didn't count.
So, I mean, honestly, if
it's all step family.
If you were Sylvia, are you going to fuck this guy? Right, I mean.
For real. And I
kind of get it, actually.
Like, we knew you would.
I would murder my step family if the right buttons were pushed.
No, it's in-law.
Yeah, like the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
So, like, you're...
Even worse. That's like flushing
I just want it on record for your wife. So, her family, if anything happens...
I just
want to make sure if that's what you're saying.
I mean the last round. The ex...
Oh, the
step family.
The last time you were married? This is news to me.
So, this was... He murdered his ex-wife and her family. So, if you and your wife...
Get a divorce.
You're saying, watch out, bitch? Or I just want to get it on...
Depending on what she does to me. Yeah, yeah, watch out. I'll kill your whole fucking family, you fucking...
I mean, hey, you know what?
She's going to be pissed about
that.
In his defense...
Show it to your dad.
In his defense...
Show it to your dad.
in his defense, fair warning.
Don't nag a bitch. You know what I mean? Don't nag a fucking dude, right?
Don't talk back to me.
It's like, hey, let this be a warning. Yeah.
Jesus.
I know, Jesus, right? You did
this. I take it back.
Now you want to stop it? You did it.
Why did you make me do this?
Why did you make me turn this show into another woman-hating? I'm trying to fucking like women. Just kidding. So,
I'm glad you read that part of the notes. I wrote that in there specifically. Yeah, yeah. I kind of had a moment.
Was coop. I was just reading it word for word.
Damn.
So they were gathering the children and ushering them to the back of the house. As they scrambled out of the house, Bruce unwrapped the package containing his homemade flamethrower and set fire to the house. He had initially intended to use the compressor to douse the building in racing fuel, which he would then light with a flare, but the gas unexpectedly caught fire when it made contact with a candle. Because you know they love a candle. Your people, right? They love a candle. causing an explosion that left Pardo with third-degree burns on his arms and legs and actually searing...
He set himself on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Exactly. And by the way, searing the Santa costume... to his skin.
Good.
So basically leaving like a, I wonder who did it, Mark, for, right?
He set himself on fire.
Coop, you take it from here for a couple.
The attack on the Ortega home was only one portion of a much larger plan. Over the previous week or weeks, depending on how long, it's kind of hard to question the guy at this point considering he's dead.
Right.
Bruce had rented multiple cars, which he intended to use to evade police. One of the cars was found parked outside of the home of Sylvia's divorce attorney.
Love.
Who was the next target on Santa's naughty list? Had the explosion not injured Bruce, the lawyer would have joined his former client in the afterlife. Upon fleeing the house...
Why would he... Oh, okay, go ahead. Do you go into, like, how... Yeah, go into... Go. So, now we're getting into, like, everything Bruce did.
Yeah, getting into the portions of the plan that he had set
the nitty-gritty.
In motion. into the nitty-gritty.
He upon also weirdly, bought a plane ticket to Iowa. So that same friend that he got the thing.
So was it Iowa or was it Illinois? Because I've heard two different... For some reason, when I initially wrote the notes, I had put Iowa in there. But as I was going back through the information... Some of it said Illinois, some of it said Iowa.
You're right. So I don't know why he did this, but in his weird brain, this is what he thought. So the friend was in Iowa, and that's where he initially visited, got the extra ammo, because you can buy a bunch of ammo there. He was going to come back to that friend's house. He booked the ticket to Illinois and was going to drive there. He thought in his mind maybe that would evade, because if you look at the flight records, he goes to Illinois, right? But he's driven to Illinois to Iowa, and it's very close. So I don't know why you would do that. But
yeah, and obviously they don't keep records of rental cars or anything like that.
Yeah, so sure. So it was yeah. So in his mind, he thought harder to track him if he's now taken off in a rental car than if you just land right in Iowa. Right? Again, in his mind.
And I'm not sure if Iowa even has an airport yet. I mean, they might now because it's been it's been a while since these.
So it might be real now.
So they might have.
It might
actual
be a real state
now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was his plan, and then in the car that they found outside the lawyer's place was where they found all of the gear, clothes, ammo, basically stuff to escape with. So he was then going to maybe take the rental car that he used for the massacre, go to this car that he left in front of the lawyers, pop him, and roll out, right?
Yeah, I think that was the case because he had left the majority of the ammunition. So like you were saying earlier, he bought way more ammunition than he needed.
And especially with 9mm, what are you going to do, just keep reloading? You know what I mean? I don't know why you would.
Yeah, with that many rounds, reloading a 12-round magazine, he would have been there all night.
Right. So interesting that he had to get that many for some reason.
I was actually I was actually thinking that he might have purchased that much ammunition because there were 200 rounds left over after everything was said and done with. I think that he might have purchased that much ammunition just specifically for what he did a little bit later to
car.
Use as like a distraction.
Got it.
So the attack on the Ortega home was only a portion of a much larger plan. Over the previous week, Bruce had rented multiple cars, which he intended to evade police. One of the cars was parked outside of Sylvia's divorce attorney, which was the next target on the list. Had the explosion not injured Bruce, the lawyer would have joined his former client in the afterlife. Upon fleeing the house, Bruce changed out of his costume, placing it in his rental car, and booby-trapping it to hopefully delay police. He had set it up so if anybody tampered with the car, it would start a fire that would set off roughly 200 rounds of 9mm ammunition, which would...
So he had a flare. It was weird. Like, he had the the Santa costume on the seat, passenger seat, ammo, and a flare, right? And so when the police, pulled, you know what I mean, just tried to look at anything, the flare went off, and then the whole car fucking exploded.
Yeah, it would start a fire, which would set off the ammunition and cause some injuries. It would delay the police, hopefully long enough for him to leave. Really, the fact that the fire started before he intended it to is the main thing that kind of threw a monkey wrench in the works. I mean, overall, the plan was still stupid. I mean, diabolical and evil, obviously.
Right.
But for an engineer, he didn't really think far enough ahead.
Like, there's diabolical and evil, and then there's just, it's not like a Hitler thing where we respect him, you know what I mean? we would have to, in some ways, not respect him, but be like, dang, he really fucking, you know, everything that he did made sense, and he could have gotten away with it, right?
Yeah,
but that's not at all what it was like. It was like crazy person's, you know, engineer mind, you know, mental break, thinking that they're doing, you know, they're gonna get away kind of thing. So it was like in his mind, he's like the smartest person in the world.
Yeah, it comes back to the type of person that does things like this, which we've talked about a lot on this show. Is they think that they are the smartest person in the room, and they think that they've figured out all the things that they need to do, and they're going to outsmart the cops, and they have all these plans and setting up booby traps. And it's very narcissistic and egotistical. So upon fleeing the house, Bruce booby trapped the car. He had strapped bundles of cash to his body and booked a plane ticket to Illinois for the following morning, as Jesse was saying earlier, to go visit under the guise of visiting his former high school friend in Iowa.
In the state of Iowa, right? Yeah. Like, if that's even a place.
Suffering from painful burns, he knew there was no way for him to board the flight undetected. Instead, Bruce drove to his brother's home in Sylmar. Finding his brother wasn't home, Bruce gave his pistol a mouth hug and decked the halls with brain matter, which is very
I needed him to read that, but
his body was discovered by police the following morning.
Yes.
And God bless him for doing that.
Christmas song
and
kicks
it was,
in.
Well, it was the brother coming home from a party, which, by the way, what Christmas Eve party did you go to that you got home at 3 or whatever? Was it the same one that I went to in Vegas one time where I came out, walked out from the Crazy Horse 2 under the fucking freeway Christmas morning?
What?
Was it like that? You degenerate fuck, Brad Pardo. But I think we were saying the other day on Ross Patterson, or me and Delco were talking about it, but the Christmases that kind of, or Christmas Eves that imprint are the ones that you couldn't make it home because of work or whatever, and you had to just hang out with whatever other degenerates couldn't make it home or had to work that Christmas Eve shift.
And murder and your ex's family.
And that's
on
what
fire.
Happens is you walk out Christmas morning from Crazy Horse 2 under the freeway.
Jesus Christ.
And it was fun.
Oh, God. I could have.
But then I went, I think I should leave Vegas. Right? I was like, sun coming up. I go, I think I'm going to pack my stuff and leave tomorrow. Yeah.
Back to Kelly.
Packed up the Mustang, the red 96 convertible.
Oh, good year.
You're welcome. Good year. And it was a maroon. It was more of a sparkly maroon.
Oh, I know the exact red.
I think you've probably seen it.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyway.
Can't get red. Red's too try-hard. But also be careful in the future. I hear that leaving Las Vegas is fatal.
I'm a prickly pear. Favorite movie ever.
I fucking love that movie.
Fucking love that movie.
It's a great movie to watch, like, if you use it as a drinking game.
Holy, I was just going to say, you recommended using it as a drinking
drink
game. That is the most sociopathic thing I have ever fucking heard.
It's real simple, guys. So stay with me. So you just...
Drink whenever he drinks.
Holy shit, you will be fucked up.
You can't make it to the end of the movie.
I mean, for anybody who's never seen Leaving Las Vegas, it's literally a movie about a guy drinking himself. He drinks through the entire fucking movie.
Do yourself a favor. I think that's Nicolas Cage's real inner self.
It's him.
I think it's him.
That's why he got
I think it's the one movie that he's actually just playing his fucking self. He can't do it, right? Because he still wants to be in the industry and he wants to be like a normal person, but
well, he doesn't
my
want
God,
to lose access
dude.
To that Coppola inheritance that he's going to
absolutely.
Get
are you guys sad that he's going to wrap it up soon? Did you hear what he said? He's got a couple more left and he's retiring.
Yes, but I did say because he's nominated for one of the first. I mean, what was the last one? Leaving Las Vegas. He hasn't been nominated.
Last time he was nominated,
it was the one he made with Herzog. Got a nomination.
Oh, really?
With Bad Lieutenant. Did you see that?
No.
It's got Val Kilmer in it, too. It's good.
But that was a long time ago, too.
But that
no?
was, yeah, that yeah, was yeah, a yeah. long time ago.
Was that like late 80s, early 90s? Something
it
like
must
that?
Have been.
No, that was the second round. That was after he was kind of fat by then and stuff.
Because Leaving Las Vegas, I think, was his first and, right?
First and only win.
I'm sorry. Look, we've got time.
Look, this is important. We need to talk about Nicolas Cage right now on this crime show.
Do you love a Nicolas Cage the way that you should?
I love him.
I like he should have been nominated for Face Off.
I was going to say, Coop likes the action star Nicolas Cage.
No,
but by the way, those were the days when those kind of movies were actually good and had a storyline, and you're absolutely fucking right.
It was back when John Travolta was still respectable too. Now, I think John Travolta and Nicolas Cage had a very like parallel career where they were
nobody really, likes John Travolta. Really, really nobody even thinks he's as good as Nicolas Cage.
Pulp Fiction.
That was already after he sucked. Like that was his shitty comeback movie, and he wasn't even cool in that. He was a dorky guy.
That was like what his second or third major movie after. Grease and Saturday Night Fever?
Best actor. So, 96, best actor. He won for Leaving Las Vegas. 2003, forgot. Adaptation. Amazing in that movie.
Didn't see it.
Nominated.
Adaptation. Wait.
Where he plays like the writer that's writing.
He's got the curly hair.
1996, best actor in a leading role. Okay. Critics' Choice, Pig, nominated.
I was about to say, did you see Pig? Because that's the other one that he got nominated.
I haven't seen Pig yet.
It's fucking awesome.
I really liked him in Mandy, though.
Mandy's sweet.
He was fucking awesome in Mandy.
He was nominated for Moonstruck.
Moonstruck.
Honeymoon in Vegas. Remember that one?
Sequel
he went
to,
from Honeymoon
to Leaving
in Vegas,
Las Vegas
to Leaving Las Vegas,
so
right?
So weird that they
so the
that
idea
up.
Is that character stayed in Vegas from Honeymoon to Vegas up until Leaving. Best actor adaptation. Okay.
It is cool that he busts a nut and dies.
Spirit Awards.
That's the way I want to go.
Spirit Awards in 90 and 96. Vampire's Kiss and Leaving Las Vegas. Spirit
Awards.
Leaving Las Vegas was at Spirit Awards. That's not fucking fair. Well, anyways.
That was
a fucking highly produced fucking big budget movie.
Leaving Las Vegas?
Yes.
Well, compared to our shit.
Compared to anyone in Spirit Awards. This is what I'm fucking talking about. Whatever.
Yeah, isn't the Spirit Awards.
Midnight in Paris was at the Spirit Awards.
Aren't the Spirit Awards like kind of a joke?
Now
I've never met a respectable filmmaker that's ever been nominated for a Spirit Award before.
I could just stop cutting to your
what
angle.
He's joking about, guys, is that Joel was nominated for Best Cinematographer 2011
2012
2011 Spirit Awards.
Yeah.
Okay, honestly, to give respect, the reason to me that's a joke is because what you were up against,
I know,
was not a small budget film.
Well, I was that's up against, I mean, The Artist and Midnight in Paris.
The and
Midnight
Artist in Paris is and beautiful. Midnight in yeah. Paris. Wasn't that
Midnight in Paris should have won actually, but Artist won. I watched them and was like, Midnight in Paris should win. It's
wasn't
incredible.
That daughter fucker? What's his name?
Woody Allen.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Wasn't Midnight in Paris?
It's yeah. funny that you can say daughter fucker, and my mind immediately went to Woody Allen.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Right.
And Torsant.
We're all cool. We're all cool with it, huh?
I hate him.
Anyways,
he's never made a good movie. He's never done anything.
Let's get up to current. Yeah, it's mostly Leaving Las Vegas adaptation.
Funniest thing he ever
Pig,
did was fuck his stepdaughter.
Bad Lieutenant. You're right. But it was Toronto Film Critics Association.
Bad Lieutenant's awesome.
Okay.
He gets a blowjob.
So yeah, then scene. After that, fuck it's yeah. just kind of like miscellaneous awards, like American Comedy Awards, Blockbuster Entertainment Awards, you know, The Rock, Con Air. City of Angels, Snake Eyes, The Family Man. Snake By the Eyes. Way, Family Man, I just got a text from my friend. Best Christmas movie ever. Just
I haven't
saying.
Seen it. 8mm.
Great.
8mm was pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
Introduced me to the concept of snuff films. My life has never been the same.
Oh, you I know what, guys? He got a Golden Raspberry Award. So he's good. What the fuck is that?
He can retire now.
By the way, he's gotten so many Golden Raspberry Awards. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is.
Is that like the opposite of an Oscar?
Maybe Wicker Man, Ghost Rider.
Oh, incredible.
It's the opposite
Drive
of an Oscar.
Angry, Season of the Witch, Trespass, A Thousand Words, Ghost Rider.
Wait, is Drive Angry the one where he plays the ambulance driver?
No, Drive Angry is when he's like...
Oh, I love that one too. What was
that?
That
I can't remember the name of it, but
which
I like that.
Which one was the ambulance one? Ghost Rider. Was it Ghost Rider? No.
No, that was it was a comic book
it
movie.
Was,
it was terrible.
Fuck.
Drive Angry is the one with what's her name?
That I know.
Married to the pirate guy.
Amber Heard?
Yeah, Amber Heard is in it. Here.
Mandy, he won at the Saturn Awards. Nominated.
We need
sorry.
To get back on topic here.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Anybody who hasn't seen Mandy?
So
go
basically,
check that movie out.
What I'm
yeah.
saying,
it's
the point
wild.
The point is, I think he hasn't been nominated in a while. He finally got nominated, Golden Globes, probably go on to the Oscars. And I think he really wants to solidify this win.
Mm.
The best way to solidify the win is to say I'm retiring.
Oh,
good point.
So they can give him
he
his
wants
last
a win
award.
So he can get
thank
out of
you
there.
For everything you've done, and then he'd be like, "Gotcha, motherfuckers! I'm gonna do fucking 10 million." Yeah. So, and I hope I'm right.
Me too.
It's a prediction I have, and I hope I'm right. If he retires, good for him, but...
I'd be sad.
I hope that he's just doing this to get the award, and he fucking should. Because it's a game you need to play at this point.
I really thought the whole through line for this tangent was we were talking about the actor most likely to dress up as Santa and slaughter a family in Covina, California.
Would he not play the best Bruce Pardo?
Oh, absolutely.
If I were to cast anyone?
I mean, it doesn't look exactly... I would personally...
No, it's just the craziness of it. He could
craziness,
really capture...
Yes. Going for looks, I'd go for like... Is it Vincent D'Onofrio, the guy from Full
D'Onofrio
Metal Jacket?
D'Onofrio for sure, or maybe a Vince Vaughn if we feed him a couple pizzas, huh?
Ooh, yeah, yeah. I mean, Vince Vaughn's kind of, I mean, he's gotten a little
Vince is
puffy
huge,
over
too.
The last few years.
He's a huge
I think,
man.
I think They're D'Onofrio 6'4". Would fit the craziness and the overall
Ooh, yeah.
look at this
the
point.
The quiet craziness.
Yeah.
Which is like the creepiest,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, definitely.
Best Santa's Mel Gibson, though. Just saying.
That's okay.
I beg to differ. I say
Batman.
It's Bruce Pardo.
Yeah. The Santa we most identify with. Much larger plan upon fleeing the house. Where are you at, Coop?
So he decked the halls with his brain matter.
Sure.
And his body was discovered okay. by his brother the following morning.
Papa Joe, his wife Alicia, their two sons, James and Charles, the badass. Gangsters,
yeah,
and two of their daughters, Alicia and Sylvia, lost their lives that night. Bruce also killed the wives of James and Charles, Sherry and Teresa. The last victim of the massacre was Alicia's 17-year-old son, Michael, who was trapped upstairs and killed by the fire. In all, 9 members of the Ortega family died that night.
Fuck.
On Christmas Day, police interviewed the sole survivor, daughter of Papa Joe and Alicia, Leticia Ortega.
It's a tough name.
Poppy
it
Hoyle.
It is because I'm yeah. She said that despite the costume, beard, and hat, she could accurately identify the shooter as her sister's ex-husband, Bruce Pardo. Investigators then returned to Bruce's brother, Brad's house, and investigated his car. It matched the description of the car neighbors had seen leaving the scene of the massacre at Ortega home. This was the final puzzle piece linking him to the murders. And actually, in the 911 calls, after when they're calling 911 from the fire,
yeah, Leticia was the one that called.
She's saying it was Brad Pardo. It was my, you know, I know, like, but it was so insane. And by the way, I was saying before, Covina police just not equipped. They don't get this kind of crime ever. Very quiet, very like small shit. The detective said when he showed up to this house, apocalyptic was like not even an accurate enough term. Like it was just like carnage.
Yeah.
Burned bodies. The house was completely burned to the ground. Insanity.
They had a difficult time identifying the bodies. Yes, and the house exploded in a fireball that went somewhere between 50 and 80 feet high once it actually ignited. But Charles Ortega, you know, Charles and James, the guys that are arguably the heroes of the story, as soon as the first shots were fired, as soon as Katrina got shot, Charles saw this guy dressed up as Santa, immediately recognized him as Bruce, and he said, "It's Bruce, everybody run." Yep. So they already knew to a certain degree that
they
this
knew.
Guy was
unhinged. But to the police or to the 911 dispatch, like, that means nothing.
Yeah.
Because they're just like, what? We're just trying to get people there. They have to go back and listen or interview her after. So, like we're saying, at the time when they found, you know, when these two incidents were reported on Christmas Day, they had no idea that they were related 40 miles away from each other.
And also after during the tail end of the massacre and after the fire started there, like we were talking about earlier, there was somewhere between like 30 and 40 people in the house. A lot of people were calling the police pretty much immediately after the shots were fired, because a lot of the adults went and grabbed the kids, ran out the back. Everybody was calling 911, and that was confusing dispatchers because so many people were calling in with slightly different stories. They weren't sure if this was all the same incident that was happening, if there were multiple incidents happening in different areas.
Yes. If there's one killer that's like massacre and then killing this other dude, or they're not equipped.
Yeah,
they're what's happening here?
Made the whole situation very confusing for the first responders. And then also you'd add to that, they find this random body of Bruce Pardo 40 miles away.
Shot in the head, but in such a way that it doesn't necessarily look like a suicide.
And
he's
there's
third
two
degree
pistols.
Burns. He's got red fabric
melted
into his arms. But at that point, they don't even know what that means, right?
Yeah, and I mean, with 40 miles of distance between the two incidents,
seriously, they're completely
you're
different
not going to immediately go like, "Oh yeah, this must be the guy that set fire to that house and killed all those people."
Oh yeah, a couple hours ago that I don't even know
dispatch
about.
Probably just thought it was like a prank. They're like, people kept calling him, like, "Hey,
Santa Claus is killing everybody."
Yeah, that, or like they're like, "Oh, fire? Okay, like you partied hard, like there's a fire." They didn't realize the extent.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Even when they got there,
it's
they're like, "Oh, we
bomb.
Are not prepared for this."
That's crazy.
They returned to Bruce's Brad's house and investigated his car. It matched the description. This was the final puzzle piece. Amazingly, the first victim to be shot, 8-year-old Katrina, survived, along with her. That's the miracle of the story.
Ortegas are made differently, apparently.
See?
Eight-year-old took a nine millimeter shot to the face.
Yep,
and survived.
I did give you a Christmas miracle, huh? This story is happy.
She lived.
The 8-year-old that answered the door, probably the fucking problem. Don't answer the door.
The soberest one there.
Yeah, the sober kid, super excited, let in the killer. It's okay, she lived. Just kidding. Survived along with her aforementioned mother. So her mom and daughter, the mom and daughter survived. Two additional unnamed members of the family were injured, but also survived. A 16-year-old cousin who was shot in the back, and a 20-year-old who had jumped from a second-story window when they heard the gunshots.
Damn.
I need Coop to take this last paragraph and send us into the holidays.
Now, as we gather together with our loved ones this year, opening presents and airing grievances, remember to be grateful that you don't have a criminally insane electrical engineer hell-bent on wiping out your bloodline. And if a man dressed in a red coat carrying a bag of gifts knocks on your front door, don't open it. It's not actually Santa. As Mrs. Claus can attest, he prefers to use the back door. What do you think happens if you use the back door too much?
Yeah, Jesse, what does happen if Mrs. Claus is just...
Oh my gosh, are we ready? I don't wanna...
I think it's something that looks kind of like a Christmas stocking.
Yeah, like an inside out, like an inside out donut.
Oh, I know what you're talking. Prolapse.
There it is.
Oh, okay,
that was a word that I was trying to think of too.
Happy prolapse holiday to everyone. We will be coming at you in the new year with more Crime Corner.
Oh, yeah, this is our new set. Did we talk about
it? It's our new set. We're supposed to end at prolapse, sorry, but I'll do it.
It's a Christmas special.
You can prolapse more than once. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that.
Once you do it once, it becomes old hat. It's like riding a bike.
Let's push that one back
Except
in for
you
a second.
Can't, so. You can't ride it. Can't ride a bike after you do it.
Just push that one.
So yeah, new set, new year, new coming at you. We may be on our own audio feed, but do not worry. We will be, the Patreon will come out a lot earlier than the audio, at least 2 weeks. I'm never going to do less than 2 weeks so that Patreon is Patreon.
Special.
You're our people. Ruben and a couple of your fucking cronies listening. What?
God, Ruben. Also, exclusive access to the video.
Yes.
If you want to see us getting wild and rowdy and the good old Iconodong sitting on the desk here.
Yeah. Right. And our beautiful faces. And we do a lot of like hand gestures and, you know, things that you
visual
will
effects.
Miss. Visual effects you will miss in the audio.
It's
absolutely
insane
right.
How many like visual gags we do during the show.
It's the whole
we
time.
Act out the majority of the scenes.
It's true. Like in the last one, the baguette, like me describing. So like
you did
Joel didn't know what I was talking about, right? So he's like, what are you talking about? And I, you know, I'm like a baguette, right? And somehow that showed him what it was.
Yeah.
But you're like, audio, you're talking about a huge cock.
Right. Yeah, audio, I'm just saying baguette over and over, and then somehow Joel gets it. So there is something to be said for watching the video. We may go live a couple times. Crime Corner is going to be, you know,
it's popping.
It's popping. We're going to be leaning into it. We're going to be giving you more content, more consistent, new year, new crimes. Love you guys. Thank you, all of you, for joining us on this heartwarming tale, right? Christmas Eve.
Ooh, warming. Nice reference to the Inferno.
Right? Huh?
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Merry, 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 merry Christmas to you.
There's just gonna be a cross while you sing images.
Thank you for sharing your Christmas with us. Ho ho ho, ho ho ho, ho ho ho, Christmas time.
That whole time, just gonna be World War II napalm footage. Like,
welcome home, welcome home. You are here for Christmas. You're part of the family, part of the family, part of the family.
God damn it, I love this
show. I can't fit in the last part now. You have to do it.
I'm doing it.
Coop is gonna keep
Coop is gonna take us out.
All right, what are we already prolapsed.
Thank prolapse you.
Merry Christmas to all and to all a good
and
night.
To all a good night. To all a good night.
Oh, God damn, I love doing this.
I'm cutting this shit.
Cut it out.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, and spend wisely, and parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/audio.